Please go to 1 Thessalonians 5 in your scriptures tonight, because a couple of weeks ago I shared from this chapter and the list of quick agenda items that Paul gave to them about Christian living. And there is one part of that that I wanted to circle back to and say some things about on a practical level. In verses 19, 20, 21, and 22 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul is talking about prophecies. And if you'll remember when I talked about this, I shared that there was the role of prophet in the Old Testament setting. Jesus came. Jesus said when he left that the Holy Spirit would come and the Holy Spirit would guide the disciples who became the apostles into all truth, and that he would teach them, the Holy Spirit would teach them all things and guide them into all truth, so that what they shared, what they proclaimed, what they taught, what they preached would be truth from God. So they spoke really as prophets. They prophesied. A prophet is someone who delivers a message from God. There were also, it seems, individuals in the New Testament church who fulfilled that role of prophet as well. And in certain settings, they delivered messages from God as well. At this point, the scriptures are complete, the canon is closed, and we have God's message to us, and we also have the individual messages to us that it contains. But the Spirit is still at work, and we still need to practice the things that Paul was saying and instructing to these believers in Thessalonica. And let me just point to these verses again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 19, where he says, "Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." And I think these are all connected. I think they all have to do with receiving messages, whether it was from the apostles or from people in the church setting who are delivering messages from God, that they should be receptive to them, not quench the Spirit. That is, remember, the Spirit is guiding them into all truth. The Spirit is speaking into the lives of the churches and the individuals through the Word of God. And so be open to that. Be receptive to that. Verse 20, don't be so skeptical that you aren't receptive. Don't quench the Spirit and don't despise prophecies. They needed to be discerning. They should be careful. They shouldn't just accept anything anybody said as a message from God. But on the other hand, they shouldn't go to the other extreme and be so skeptical that they were unreceptive to the messages that God had for them. And then verse 21, test all things. Make sure that you test, as John says in the book of 1 John, test the spirits. Be discerning. Make sure you know that what you're hearing is truth. And the apostles gave some directives for doing that, some guidelines, some principles to follow in testing what they were hearing. So test it, and then when it proves to be genuine, hold on to that. When you hear a genuine message from God, hold fast to that. Take hold of that. Capture it. Claim it. Let it claim you. Hold fast to that which is good, that which proves out to be truth. And on the other hand, if it's not good, if it is false teaching, if it is false prophecy, then verse 22, abstain from that. Reject that. Anything that has the manifestation, the form, the appearance of being evil, of being untrue is the idea. Reject false teaching. So I want to focus in on just these two little phrases in verse 20. And then in verse 21, do not despise prophecies, and then hold fast what is good. Don't despise prophecies, and hold fast what is good. And here's what I'm talking about tonight. I'm calling this making the most of messages from God. Making the most of messages from God. And this is going to be very, very practical. Now, I'm going to share with you a few practical ways to not despise prophecies, to be receptive to the messages that come to us from God's Word, and to hold on to them and to claim them and to let them impact our lives to the greatest possible potential. So let's talk about making the most of messages from God. These are very simple. These are very practical. And by the way, what I'm going to do is give you, I think, six of them. And then at the end, I'm going to ask you, Because I think there are some of you that have some practical ways. You have developed some practices of how to make the most of a message that you hear from God's Word. And so we're going to come around with the microphones, and some of you will have something to share. We'd like to hear that from you. So be thinking about that if you think it would be helpful for all of us here. We'll have a time of sharing that. So here's number one. Number one way to make the most of messages from God is to prepare your heart. Prepare your heart. I think the average person in a church doesn't think about the sermon until the pastor starts preaching, and even then it's questionable, right? I mean, let's just be honest. The average person does not think about the sermon until the pastor gets up and says, let's open our Bibles, and he starts speaking, and then, oh, it's the sermon. And I hope it's interesting. I hope it's helpful. I hope it's what I need today. And that's when we plug in. That's when we engage in the message. Well, I think that you would benefit more from the message from God's Word if you would come with your heart prepared, already thinking of, already anticipating what God is going to say in that time when the message from God's Word is delivered to you. Now, I want to show you something. We're going to come back. Just go with me to Psalm 119. I think we'll come back here. Psalm 119. And Psalm 119 is about God's Word. It's about His testimonies and His statutes. It's about God's truth. And David just rolls off line after line of poetic verse about the Scriptures and about his commitment to the Scriptures and his desire for the Scriptures, the Word of God, to be at work in his life. And I want you to see one of these sections. Psalm 119 is divided up using the Hebrew alphabet, and each of those little titles is a letter of the Hebrew alphabet in alphabetical order. And in Hebrew, the first line of each of those verses within that alphabetical section start with that letter. And so it was a way for the Jewish people to remember it and to be familiar with it and to find things in it. But here we come to verse 33, Psalm 119, starting in verse 33. And I'm going to read through this, and I want you to, in your mind, engage with this and listen to and process in your mind how engaged he was in wanting God's Word to be at work in his life. And I want you to think of this as a prayer. This is something that you and I can pray when we come to a time when we're about to hear a message from the Word of God. And this is a way that we can prepare our hearts, is to use a prayer like this. Psalm 119:33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Now notice the preparation here. Lord, I want you to teach me, and when I hear what it is, my plan is to keep it. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Are there things that are hard to understand about the Scriptures? Yes, there are. I work hard to understand them and pray for God's direction in understanding them, and I work hard to explain them and make them clear to you, and you would be maximizing the effect of the Word of God if you come with this prayer in your heart and on your mind, Lord, give me understanding. And I shall keep your law. Again, there's that plan to follow it. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Again, help me know what it is so that I can live accordingly. Make me walk in it. And here's my attitude. I delight. I don't despise. I'm not skeptical. I'm not, oh, show me something exciting. No, I delight in it because of what it is. It's the Word of God. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. That's huge right there. Our hearts naturally incline away from God's Word. And so, Lord, I want to prepare my heart for this time, and I'm asking you to incline my heart toward your Word. Bring it back. And I know that there are things that I want. We are naturally covetous and materialistic, and we want what we want. My heart goes that way naturally toward those things and those distractions. But Lord, help me to shift my focus from those things that I live in the midst of and desire and pursue day to day, and now to incline toward your Word. That's a powerful thought, isn't it? as we prepare our hearts to hear a message from God's Word. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. And they didn't have Wi-Fi in their auditorium, I don't think, when that was written, but that would be an application, right? All the things that we would naturally be distracted by, the worthless things, the things that our minds just go to and go to and go to and want to look at and pursue, Lord, help me turn my eyes away from those things. Revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Again, look at the preparation of heart. Lord, I'm your servant. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to hear from you. Tell me your will. Establish your word. Make it clear. Make it solid. Make it firm. Settle it into my heart and life. Turn away my reproach, which I dread. I think he's talking there about the potential of falling into sin, which of course David experienced. Lord, I don't want that to happen, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. What a prayer. Isn't that incredible? I just love that section of Psalm 119. And that's something that you could use on a Saturday night, something you could use on a Lord's Day morning, something you could look at as you're sitting here when the service is about to begin, and just prepare your heart. Prepare your heart to make the most of the message that you are about to hear from God. Now, I want to show you something else. Let's go back to the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 4. Can I, Dean Taylor, stand before you and say that Sunday after Sunday, you are going to hear a message from God? That's a little presumptuous, isn't it? Sounds a little presumptuous. And that you should prepare your heart to hear what God has to say to you when you sit in this auditorium and someone stands at this pulpit and speaks for however long it is? I believe yes. Yes, I can say when someone exposits the word that you are going to hear a message from God. And here's why I say it. In fact, this is, if there's one little statement in Scripture that is the basis of confidence that I have in ministering the word, it's this right here. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. He's talking here about the gifts that God gives us with which to serve him. You may have heard them of spiritual gifts, that kind of thing. That's what he's talking about. And now he talks about two categories of gifts. Verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. There's one category, speaking gifts. If anyone ministers or serves, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. There's the other category of gifts. That's serving gifts. What's the purpose of all of it? That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So look at verse 11, if anyone speaks. So if someone is standing in front of you and they're speaking, here's what they had better do. They had better speak as the oracles of God. The Greek word logos means message, the overall message. It's Logos is the word. We have the word of God. We have God's message to us. The word oracles here is the Greek word logia. It is a form of logos. It means an individual part or component of the overall message that is in itself a message. It was used of the Ten Commandments that came through Moses. It refers to a section of truth, a component of the overall larger message, but it is a self-contained message within itself. So what he's saying here is that when someone stands in front of you in the church setting and they are speaking, they had better be speaking and conveying to you one of the individual messages that come from God himself. So it is possible. It is possible. And it is possible when we dig into the word and exposit the word. And so my job is to make sure that what I am saying to you or anybody else standing in front of you, preaching or teaching the word, is speaking as the oracles of God, is delivering to you one of those messages that is a component of God's overall message, that it in fact is from God because it's from his word. Not just my opinion, not just somebody else, what somebody else says, but this is the truth. Now, of course, it comes through our personality, it comes through our interpretation of it and application of it, but the core of it should be raw truth of God's word. So it's our job to make sure that that is happening. So that's my side of it. The other side of it is for all of us, and especially for those who are listening, I need to prepare to the degree that I can stand and say, I'm giving God's word to you. But we all need to come prepared in heart to receive that message from God. Does that make sense? So we are here. We come with our hearts prepared, ready to hear from God. I need to be ready to preach. You need to be ready to listen. So here's number two. Number one is prepare your heart. Number two is get acquainted with the text. Get acquainted with the text. I try to let you know generally where I'm going. You know, if we're going through a book of the Bible or a section of Scripture. I have it planned out pretty much week by week, but that changes. That always adjusts, and I have to be flexible with that. So I don't always tell you what that is. Sometimes I do. But if you know that we're going through a certain book of the Bible or a certain section of Scripture, then I encourage you to read ahead. Read over that section several times. Read through it and familiarize yourself with it. Meditate on it. And if you know what the next verses are going to be the next week, spend some time in those, reading over those the week before. Starting next Sunday and through the month of January and the first Sunday in February, I'll be preaching from 1 Corinthians 12. And the title of the series is just One. And I'll share what that's about next Sunday. But you can be reading 1 Corinthians 12 and preparing for that, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Do a little meditating on your own. Even do some studying on your own. Use some resources. Look up some words. Be active with the text, not passive with the text. Don't necessarily come in thinking, what is the preacher going to say about the text? Come in thinking, oh, I know what that text is. I'm familiar with it. Now I'm looking forward to hearing that meaning brought out even more fully. Get acquainted with the text. That's number two. Number three, be mentally and physically engaged. These are so simple. I know any one of you could have written these out. But sometimes we need that simple nudge, right? So number three is be mentally and physically engaged. Our minds tend to what? Wander. I mean, they do. It's natural. They tend to wander, and especially the one speaking is engaged, and so his mind hopefully doesn't wander too much, but if you're just sitting and you're passive and you're listening, it's so easy for our minds to wander, isn't it? And so we have to discipline ourselves, and I think the best way to do that is to what? Take notes. I mean, it's just the best way. Maybe you have a better way. I don't know. But that's the best way I know of, is to keep your mind engaged, your hands engaged, and just be processing that. And if you don't do anything else with those notes, it's just a great way to help keep your mind engaged even in that time. You may take notes on a tablet or computer or phone, but what tends to happen? I know, we get distracted, right? There's something else on there. If you can do it, great. I've got nothing against that. I've got no problem with that, as long as you don't get distracted. So be mentally and physically engaged. Your mind tends to wander. Discipline yourself and do something to keep your mind engaged. Our bodies need to be engaged as well. Be mentally and physically engaged. I think it helps to have a good night's rest before we come on the Lord's Day morning. And I know circumstances sometimes affect that, work schedules, children up half the night, you know, all these things happen. But as much as is within our control, I think it helps for us to get to bed at a decent hour so that when we come, that it's not our fault that we're falling asleep, okay? And it's so easy. It's Saturday. We relax. We kick back. We want to watch something, want to stay up and do something, want to be out. We tend to do that. I try to be careful on Saturday evenings and avoid too much commitments, social things, activities, events. Every now and then we need to do something and we do, but I try to keep that clear because that's when I prepare and finalize for Sunday, but also just because I just want to be in that restful mode going into the Lord's Day. And I think that's a good practice for everyone. Even just where you sit, I think, is part of being physically engaged. And thankfully, we have an auditorium here where nobody's too far away. But I would put it this way. Make sure you're sitting where you won't be distracted as much as possible. So be mentally and physically engaged. That's number three. Here's number four. Yield and submit to the Holy Spirit. Yield and submit to the Holy Spirit. This is on the spiritual side. This is what takes place in our hearts, involving our attitude and approach to what we're listening to and what we're hearing. Yield and submit to the Holy Spirit. Again, if somebody is expositing the word, the Holy Spirit is speaking. So we're not supposed to be quenching the Spirit. We're supposed to be welcoming the Spirit. And that involves yielding to Him and submitting to Him. So if someone's preaching the Word, truly preaching the Word, then the Holy Spirit is speaking through the Word and through that message. And sometimes you know it, don't you? Sometimes I know it when the Holy Spirit is personally addressing me or specifically addressing issues in my life. And I need to go into it with the attitude of Psalm 119, teach me, show me, help me to walk in that path. But when it hits me that it's happening, then I need to be responsive to that and say yes to the Holy Spirit. And not resist and not shut that down, but be willing to hear what the Spirit has to say into my life and to hold fast to that. Okay, this is true. It may be uncomfortable to me. It may require change in my life. It may demand my taking a step that I don't want to take, but I'm saying yes to the Holy Spirit. I'm saying yes to Him, and I'm submitting myself to Him. This may not be emotional, or it might be. The Holy Spirit speaking to you is not necessarily an intensely emotional experience. You might not weep, you might not laugh, you might not feel some wave of emotion, or you might. You might. But that's not necessarily, doesn't necessarily accompany it. But it is very personal. It is very personal. So the Holy Spirit is always speaking when the word is being preached, but sometimes it becomes very personal and very specific to you. So we go in generally with the attitude, Lord, speak to me. Holy Spirit, I'm yielded to you. I want to submit to you. Show me what I need to do. Work in my life. But then when that specific message hits us, we say yes to the Holy Spirit. Yield and submit to Him. Number five, respond in the appropriate way. Respond in the appropriate way. And each message has an appropriate response. And by response, I'm not talking so much about physical movement. I'm talking more about what happens in our hearts and minds and lives. And here are some possible appropriate responses. First of all, to just believe something. There are times when we hear a truth and we just need to say, you know what? Yes, I embrace that truth. It is right. And I agree and I put my confidence in that truth. We believe something. There are times when we need to respond by confessing and saying, all right, Lord, that's me. That's the condition of my heart, and it's not right. It is not good. This is going on in my life. This is something I just realized, or I knew it, but I'm now admitting it, that I've been doing that is dishonoring to you. It's displeasing to you. Lord, I acknowledge this. And you know my practice. Sometimes we have an opportunity for people to respond immediately and come and pray. And other times you can go to the prayer room or go as you leave. But with confession, it may need to happen immediately right there in your seat or wherever you are. Or you need to go somewhere and get by yourself and just pour out your heart and say, God, this is what's going on in my life. You know it, but I'm acknowledging it to you. So believing, confessing, claiming is a third one. Another appropriate response, claiming something. Like we talked about this morning, this wonderful truth that He is faithful and He will do in your life what He is purposing to accomplish in your sanctification. And we reach out by faith and we say, yes, I claim that. I appropriate that. I make that mine. I'm holding on to that one. So claiming it. Turning from something and turning to something. Maybe turning from a course of life, a habit that's going on, a direction that you're going, maybe some association, maybe some individual that you realize is taking you away from the life of God and your life in Christ. Turning away from some sinful practice, some unwise direction in your life, and turning to the right way, as he prayed in Psalm 119. Make me to walk on your path. Lord, I need to turn off of the direction I've been going and turn back onto the right path. So turning from or turning to. And then one more is to act. You just need to do something. And implement and put into practice the thing that God has shown you through his word. So number five is respond in the appropriate way. And then the last one I'll share with you, and then again I would love to hear from you, is to reflect on and review the truth that you have heard. Reflect on and review the truth that you have heard. And this is where it helps to write it down. Because if you write it down, then you can go back and you can sit down with that piece of paper or that note, whatever, and you can open it and you can look at it and say, okay, here's what was said and here are the main ideas and here's how that impacted me, and I want to go over this truth again, and I want to reflect on this truth and review this truth and pray over this truth. And you may do it the very same day, or you might do it during the week. You can do this alone. You can do this with somebody else. One of the ways that we're providing for us to do this here at Calvary is through our discussion groups, and that will be starting up again this Wednesday night. And we will be having a follow-up discussion of the previous Sunday morning's message in our discussion group. And that's what those discussion questions are for on the back of your handout. We'll be doing that through these next months. And in the next month or so, I'll be sharing with you some plans that we have for additional opportunities that we'll be providing for this, for you to meet in some groups and discuss the previous Sunday's message. So reflect on and review the truth that you have heard. And not just so that you will mentally remember it, but so that the impact of it will be as great as possible, so that it will be maximized.